Workers don't even get fair pay.
Bailout billions get washed away.
Workers don't even get fair pay.
Bailout billions get washed away.
After months of mounting anger, the House of Representatives finally hauled in 8 CEOs of America's biggest bailed out banks. But many members of Congress didn't share the public's outrage. Maybe that's because, as the Center for Responsive Politics reports, nearly every member of the committee received contributions associated with these same financial institutions during the 2008 election cycle for a total of $1.8 million. Committee co-chair Spencer Baucus got nearly $117,000 from the same banks brought in to testify.
And I think you and I both agree that we need to get the government and government investment out of the banks as soon as we can and get about the business of you doing what you do well and with a minimum of unnecessary influence and interference from us. So thank you very much for your presence.
I cannot believe no one's prosecuted you on this. But then again, we've had
some who were outraged used most of their time to vent.
I don't really have a question, but I was told that I can use the 5 minutes because the questions I have, you've answered them. America doesn't trust you anymore.
For most of the 7-hour hearing, the CEOs grinned and bore it. But one exception came late in the day when Florida Representative Alan Grayson pointedly interrogated Vikram Pandit, CEO of Citigroup.
And I'd like to focus specifically on a deal the government made several months ago with Citigroup.
In the deal Grayson is talking about, the government promised to bail out Citigroup to the tune of $250 billion if loans and securities backed by risky mortgages proved to be worthless, a strong possibility according to some experts. In exchange, the government got just $7 billion in Citigroup preferred stock.
That seems like the worst deal since the Indians sold Manhattan for $24 worth of costume jewelry. All right, now in this deal, Citibank took the first $29 billion in losses, and then the taxpayers take 90% of the remainder. Is that correct?
First $30 billion of the losses, and then Citigroup takes the remaining 10%.
Well, the bottom line, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Pandit, but the bottom line is that the government has assumed liabilities here for this designated pool that amount to $250 billion, more or less. Isn't that correct?
Congressman, we bought insurance from the U.S. government. We paid a little bit more than $7 billion for buying insurance that allowed us to take the first $30 billion of losses and then 10% of losses after that.
So the government gets $7 billion in preferred stock, and the government's on the hook for $250 billion in losses. Is that correct?
We're on the hook first for the losses we talked about, and the $7 billion of insurance is for losses beyond that, not unlike every other insurance contract. Whether you buy insurance on your house, your car, you know, you pay insurance premiums, you're on the hook for your deductible, and then, of course, the insurance company is liable for the value beyond that.
You tell me, Mr. Pandit, where I can get a deal like this, where I can get $250 billion in insurance, as you put it, for toxic assets that barely have a bid in the marketplace and only pay $7 billion for that. You tell me where I can get a deal like that.
Congressman, the only thing I would say to you is that these aren't necessarily toxic assets at all. The government has gone through these assets very carefully. They've gone through what the expected losses might be on this. They did their work. And I think that's an important aspect that is not in this document.
Well, if it turns out that they're not truly toxic and there is an upside, who gets the upside?
Their city's profits.
Right. So you get 100% of the upside and the government gets 90% of the downside, correct?
That is what the insurance contract is designed to do.
Have you heard the phrase, Mr. Pandit, heads I win, tails you lose?
I appreciate that, Congressman. I don't think it applies here.
Is this on your balance sheet, this arrangement?
Yes, it is, Congressman.
Do you know if it's on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet? They are responsible for $234 billion of losses. Do you know if the Federal Reserve put it on its balance sheet?
Congressman, I couldn't tell you. I think there is some of this is with the FDIC, some of this is with the Treasury, some of this with the Federal Reserve. I don't know the exact details. We're happy to get back to you.
The gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman from Connecticut.
Are you satisfied with what you got out of your 5 minutes today?
No, I don't know how anybody could be. We have this gaping, enormous potential liability for the federal government, $250 billion. And I heard some sort of, I don't know, line about how the taxpayers are getting $7 billion in preferred stock, so they should be happy about it. I don't buy that at all. I don't think that any rational person could be happy with a deal like that. I think that the Federal Reserve in particular was taken for a ride. And I'm very concerned that none of this is being disclosed on a timely basis to the taxpayers. And I can't imagine that any of this is for the good of the taxpayers. So I'm very, very concerned about the terms of these deals, and I think we've just scratched the surface. And the surface needs more than a scratch.